We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling. On the corner.
Hey there. Because you're listening to this podcast, we at Blue Wire want you to know this. One, we freaking love you. And two, we want to learn more about you. Help us make more content you'll love by filling out a survey you can find in the description of this podcast. You'll help us out a ton, and you'll have a chance to win a Blue Wire t-shirt, hoodie, or a pair of AirPods. We appreciate you, hope you're staying safe, and want you to enjoy this podcast.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another week of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man, Andreas Hale. I am still in Puerto Rico. I am sweating so crazy right now. The humidity today is 98%. I'm going to come back a new man. I will be smaller than Angelo Dawkins. Mark my words. That is the goal right now. Thank you guys for tuning in. We have a packed show for you today. We're talking boxing. Mike Tyson is officially coming back. I'm going to try to wheel back my bet with Dre.
It's not happening.
Maybe he just gives me a little leeway. We'll see.
Never.
We got like 15 minutes till we get to that point in the show. Let's see how he's feeling by then. Maybe the claw will kick in. I'll have a fighting chance. And then we're also talking UFC. Joseph Benavidez loses again. What's in store for him moving forward? And we have a lot of people returning to boxing this week. Top Rank wrapped up, so that means DAZN and Golden Boy are taking the baton and running with it. We also have Showtime announcing their full calendar, so we have to talk about those fights as well. To start it off, though, Dre, we're going to put me in a good mood before and try to put you in a good mood. Baseball is back. People know that we are baseball fans on this show. We don't talk about it often because it's a combat sports podcast. But damn it, my Yankees come back today. Gerrit Cole, baby. By the time you listen to this, we may have won. Well, most likely would have won. If we have lost, don't contact me on social media. I'm going to be very, very downtrodden if we lose this first game. There's only 60 games this season. We need everyone that we can get. My Yankees are winning the ring, but how optimistic are you about your squad, Dre, the White Sox?
I mean, look, man, it's all, everything's up for us. Everybody's young, you know. I mean, we got a few OGs. We got Encarnacion. We, you know, Abreu's older now. Yasmani Grandal. I mean, but we're loaded. Eloy Jimenez. It just kind of sucks. Michael Kopech won't be pitching this year. He's taking the year off for reasons that we don't know why. But, dude, we're playing with house money right now. 60 games. It's easy for us. Like, it's easy. The expanded playoffs. We should make the playoffs. The expanded playoffs are bad for the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
3-game series are the pits.
We don't want to trip up against someone. And even if we get down in the first game, you got to exhaust your entire bullpen. to win the next two. It's just crazy. I hate that idea. Collusion. They're colluding to keep my Yankees from a championship. That's what it is. But no, really, you guys are loaded. Tim Anderson is one of the funnest baseball players I've seen in decades.
Dude, our team is full of Dominicans and Tim Anderson.
Bat flips everywhere. Love it. They're just fun. Usually I try to hate on everything around you. But in this case, I can't even front. You have a fun team. I like watching them. I liked watching them, even the inner squad games leading up to this season. I was like, damn, I'm not mad at the White Sox right now. I hope you guys win that division, because Cleveland, they're not that great.
Nah, it won't be Cleveland. Our biggest competition is going to be
The Twins.
Yeah, the Twins are going to be our biggest
competition. I don't believe in them either. We washed them so tough last year.
They got Josh Donaldson, so, you know, the Twins could be looking good this year. But, again, my size, we got Louis Robert. Like, we look good. I just hope our pitching takes the next step. Lucas Giolito took a huge step last season. I need Ronaldo Lopez to do the same. We got Dallas Keuchel, who's just an innings eater. 60 games, man. It's a sprint. And I wasn't sure we were going to have a baseball season. So 60 games is better than no games. How do you feel about whoever wins if they're going to put an asterisk? And don't just assume the Yankees are going to win, because the Dodgers actually have the most stacked team.
No, the Dodgers do. The hell with the Dodgers, though. I'm just counting the Dodgers go Dodgers, like they do with most playoff series when it comes down to World Series. No asterisk. Like, I don't put an asterisk by the Spurs winning in the crazy shortened season in the NBA. Tim Duncan and David Robinson got a ring, right? Like, I don't count that as an asterisk. It's happened twice in baseball. Who was the last team? I believe it was the Blue Jays to win it.
Yeah.
Off of the strike. And I think they went back-to-back in those years. So they won it regular and then won it off of the strike. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't put an asterisk on that. It's truly a sprint. I think this season's more unique than any we've seen in any other sport, just because you need that depth this season.
Dude.
So
Juan Soto just got hit with the COVID.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So he's not playing tonight. So we don't even know when he's coming back. It helps you guys a lot, but just think about it. Like, the injured list now, like, you know, I'm a fantasy baseball guy. So the DL and the injured list is usually for two, but now they've expanded it to four because you have no idea how many guys are going to come down with this shit. They're all traveling. Like, you don't know who, like, the whole Nationals team could go down. Like, you have no idea what's about to happen. And I mean, it makes it intriguing, but this is truly unlike any other baseball season. Usually strike-shortened seasons, they don't end in a strike. They usually start with a strike. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get shortened because of something like that. But this is different. Like, we're going in, we have a schedule that's specifically 60 games. And it's like, dude, you have to have depth. You have to be healthy. Like, if somebody gets hurt, it's a wrap. You got guys like Mike Trout, who may or may not play the whole season. He's got a kid on the way, so he could be out for 2 weeks. 2 weeks? That's what? 10 games?
That's 2 weeks.
Six of the season. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. It's going to be wild.
They stealing cars out Yankees there in Puerto Rico? Are they stealing cars?
Yeah, right? Well, I don't know what's going on. This person doesn't know how to turn off their alarm outside. Puerto Rico's a whole different place. There you go. Finally shut it off. No, I have faith in my Yankees because last year, damn it, it's back. Last year, we played almost the whole season like that, right? Like, we played with damn near our AAA team last year. Everyone was hurt. We did okay. Our bullpen is our, you know, strong point. We've lost Chapman to the COVID for a little while, but hopefully better now than later if he had to catch the COVID. So it's like, okay, he comes back. I have faith in what we can do. Let's be honest, everyone gets hurt on our team all the damn time anyway. So if we can just keep them healthy for 40 games and we have rotational pieces to move in to get everyone 15, 20 games of rest, I think the benefit for all teams this season is the wins count, right? World Series counts. I don't think stats count for the first time in forever in baseball. If they hit 400, that's an asterisk. No one's going to break the home run record. No one's going to break the strikeout record, right? No one's going to break the wins record. So who cares if you play 45 games or 60? As long as your team wins, that's the only thing that counts for this year. So I don't expect a lot of my Yankees players to play 55 games. For what? We'll alternate off days. We got a very deep team. Everyone will play 45 and try to keep them healthy for what remains, what, that's usually 2 months of a baseball season, is now the entire season. So,
as long as you're winning, though. Like, if you start off slow, then you're going to have to play hard. Any team.
Yeah, we're not starting off. Again, we led the pace last year with everyone injured. I think our backups are battle-tested and proven. Other teams cannot say the same. People started going down on other teams. They depended on trade deadlines, bringing in new acquisitions. You have, all that's not going to necessarily happen this year. The trade deadline might be fucking nuts, though. Who knows? It's like 3 weeks from now.
Dude, yeah, there might be some starting pitchers flying around here. Like this
quick and early.
This whole season is going to be chaos, and I'm here for it. There's going to be no fans, and I wish if there was one thing that they would do, because, like, I guess next week we'll talk about the NBA because they'll be back in action. I would like them to amplify the sound of the ball in the bat. Like, when the bat hits the ball, I would like to hear that amplified. Like, the crack. If I can't hear the fans, give me something. I want to hear, like, long home runs. I want to hear what they sound like. I'm always infatuated with that sound. No
but
fans.
I feel like you'll hear the players on the field. You know, that's not bad. Mic people up. Don't they do that for spring training?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was good. Like, when I think Anthony Rizzo was mic'd up and hit, like, a double and was, like, talking shit the entire time around the bases.
Yeah. Mookie Betts last year was mic'd up. Yeah. And he was like, oh, hold on, got to go catch this fly ball. And he runs, catches it. He's like, oh, that's a little farther than I thought. Like, that's fun. You don't have these other things. You have these methods that you've already tested. A lot of these are... And let's be real, baseball on the field, you stand around a lot.
Yeah, so might as well just talk.
You mic up one outfielder. Infield, okay, maybe not. First base, got to do a lot of shit. Like, maybe you can't mic up the infield. But you can mic up an outfielder on every team. Just get something different. They're standing around a lot of the time, so we'll see what baseball comes up with. I like the little cardboard cutouts. Those are funny. I'm trying to figure out how to get my face on one of those. Like, I don't mind that. The artificial sound doesn't sound as weird as it does in, like, pro wrestling.
No.
Or, you know, boxing when Top Rank did it. Like, it doesn't sound that weird to me. It feels more in place with baseball.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at it. I think TNA had, like, a crazy, like, we talked about that. We recapped it on our last show. But we didn't talk about Slammiversary, and, like, they had not a laugh track, but they had, like, a cheers track throughout the entire thing. So you really couldn't, like, gauge what the fuck was happening. I think AEW had, like, their actual crowd this week just yelled the entire time.
Yeah.
It was just loud as fuck. So, I mean, I'd rather the controlled, like, going crazy when big stuff happens. I don't mind that. Baseball, I feel like, is the best equipped to be with no fans. I could go through half a game, three quarters of a game, and not even notice.
I mean, you know,
fans don't mean much to me.
Some places, you know, the Marlins, they never have fans anywhere. So what's the difference?
Yeah. No. I mean, maybe, you know, you get when you go to play the Cubbies and Wrigley's rocking, or Red Sox are rocking, Yankee Stadium is pretty docile for a crowd. But you get some of these other places that are really going crazy. Houston, huge advantage. You go out west, the Giants fans are still nuts. You look at teams like that, Dodgers especially. Okay, they lose that, but you still get to be in your home ballpark, which I think is the biggest advantage.
Yeah.
Because Yankee Stadium's still a bandbox. They would have made us play at a neutral site in a bubble. We're assed out. Like, we need that advantage of Yankee Stadium. It's like, it is what it is. And so I'm glad it's gone that way. I can't wait for baseball to start. It's going to be a fun season. I can't believe that you're still doing fantasy baseball at 60 games.
Dude, I got four teams. I'm an addict. I play fantasy everything.
It's four games. Multiple,
I love this shit. I don't care.
Or 60 games. Like
60 games. Who cares? I play it.
Quick fast. and congratulations. You finally got MLB The Show. You can finally start playing.
Yes. I've been sitting on it. And I'm still sitting on it. But as soon as the season, like I've told y'all, I'm weird like that. I can't play a sports game unless there's a sport going on. Like, I can't. When the NBA is not happening, I'm not playing 2K. I just started it last week because I knew the NBA was coming back. I can't play MLB The Show unless it's baseball season. As soon as it gets to the playoffs in the World Series, I'm out. I don't play Madden. I'm off Madden. It's the one sports game I just completely have given up on.
You don't play Madden? I mean, nope. I'm not going to lie. It's not great. Like, they didn't update it a lot, but I have to play Madden.
Nope. That's one. I would play NCAA college football, but I will not play Madden anymore. It's just not fun. Madden is not
what they bring that back. It's breaking records if they bring college football back.
Yeah, college football. I mean, because the game was great. There's just so much. I don't know what it is about Madden. It's so static. It's easy. Like, once you get it figured out, it's not like you... It's like with 2K, if you play on Hall of Fame, you'll lose. You'll go on a streak. Players will get cold. You'll end up losing. Like, you can lose 4 or 5 in a row. And you can reel off, like, 8 or 9 in a row. Madden, it's, like, way too easy to go 15-1, 16-0. It's, like, it's easy. And it's not fun anymore. Especially if you're a
I play
team.
On all Madden, and I win by, like, 40.
Yeah, that's not fun.
There's no way to make it difficult at this point. I don't know what they're going to do about that. Hopefully, they bring back Fight Night. They put two boxes in UFC 4. Like, I feel like we're inching.
When I talked to the guys when I did the preview, I asked them if there was anything about Fight Night coming, and they said no. Like, flatly, there has been just no real plans to bring Fight Night back yet. That sucks. But
is it exclusive rights to ESPN? I'm really wondering why a franchise like 2K doesn't just be like, you know what? Fuck it, let's try it.
I don't know. Because the Brian Hayes, when I did a documentary on EA Sports years ago, and I flew out there, and they were making the next gen. This how long? It was when they were doing PS4 and Xbox One versions of Madden and everything else. So I went down there, NBA Live too, which was terrible. But Brian Hayes is the guy who does all the UFC games, the creative director. And we talked about Fight Night then, and that was 7 years ago. It's just their property. Like, they were the ones I think it's a little bit more difficult to get boxers licensed. Like, the UFC, you just license the UFC. Boxers, you got to get them individually. And that's a pain in the ass. So I don't know if that has a lot to do with it, but that was 7 years ago, and they were just like, I don't think we're going to be able to do this anytime soon. And now it's 2020, and they're still like, I don't think we're going to do this anytime soon. That sucks. We need a Fight Night game.
They do. Yeah, it's been way too long. Let's talk about stuff from a different era. Snoop and DMX on the Versus battle. I saw you following along last night. Had to run back to the crib so I could throw it on. Because don't shit work in Puerto Rico without Wi-Fi. So I had to run back to the crib. I watched it chilling in the pool. Me and the wife, some drinks. You know, went down nostalgia lane. And everything you were saying on the timeline was true by the time I tuned in was it felt more like a concert, right? It didn't feel like the competition. It wasn't Jada styling on Fab. Like, even a competition between friends is fun. This was definitely more of a, like, I guess, like the Beanie Man one from Jamaica. Like, it was just two guys like, yo, I got a catalog. You got a catalog. Let's get it. At a point, Snoop had to help DMX. Because he had horrible cardio.
Yeah.
Like, he had the cardio of a UFC heavyweight in a 5-round fight.
Yeah, he was blown up.
So, but listen, that's healthy DMX, though. So I'd rather this than skinny rap on stage for 4 hours and pass out DMX. Because that is aided by different substances. So Snoop helped him on some ad-libs. That's cool. I thought the vibes was dope, but people still scored it, which is fine. And then, I believe it was Complex, correct me if I'm wrong, dropped the article, scoring it in favor of DMX.
That was Revolt, and then they ended up taking the article down.
Yeah, damn right they should take it down.
Yeah. Again, man.
Puff should be ashamed of himself.
I don't know how old these kids that are doing this shit, but whoever, they had Party Up over Drop It Like It's Hot. And listen, man, it's not Snoop's greatest song of all time, but DMX and Party Up, I hate that song. I hate it. And it feels like Party Up has always been that song that middle white America likes. So if that's who was writing this article, middle white America, then I get it. But Drop It Like It's Hot was everywhere. And it was such a big song. You know, you mean to tell me that Party Up was better than that? No. No. Absolutely not. The battle was fun, and I didn't score it because I thought it was stupid at a certain point because it looked like, for the most part, that Snoop was really celebrating having DMX here. It was crazy to look. One, DMX is a year older than Snoop. That's crazy to me. Two, the fact that DMX is here and he's happy and he's smiling considering all he's been through in his life. And you can say the same thing about Snoop, who was on trial for murder And they're both here in 2020, rapping and smiling, Snoop dancing, having a good time. There's no reason to score this. This was truly a celebration. This was not anybody trying to one-up the other person. But if that's what you wanted to do, there's no way DMX wins that battle. It's not a battle. But why? Why would you score it for DMX? How? Somebody had, can't remember what song, Over Ain't No Fun. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
X had more stuff than we thought, though, when we previewed it.
X had what he had. I kind of knew what he had. It's just, I think, again, Snoop's highs are like these ridiculous highs. And they're different vibes from different... There's 30 years of highs for Snoop. For DMX, there's like 4, maybe 6.
Yeah, 6 is generous.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like, it's truly the first two albums are the only albums I listen to. I don't really listen to much outside of that. But he's got bangers, and everybody knows that, the Rough Rider compilations. Like, he's got bangers, but it's like, come on, man, you're facing Snoop. It's like, that's ridiculous. There's no way DMX has more classics than Snoop. Are you nuts? But it was a great battle. Like, I enjoyed myself. I don't know. Them scoring it, like, they should have said no to scoring it, but I knew, you know, clicks and everything else. But DMX, somebody that was, DMX won that battle like 12 to 8 or 13 to 7. And I was like, come on, stop. How old are you?
13 to 7 is criminal.
Anything is criminal.
Like, that's ridiculous. 13 to 7.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even watching at that point.
That's, like, what ends up happening is Snoop is playing songs from, like, Deep Cover and The Chronic and Doggy Style, and you weren't born. And when you weren't born, it also meant that you didn't listen to any of this stuff. So when he played it, you were like, I don't know that song. I'm going to go with this DMX song because I know this one. That's kind of how it felt. But I don't know how you know. Like, somebody picked some song over Doggy Dog. Well, I have to go down the playlist. But, like, there's very few songs, period, that are bigger and more revered than, like, Doggy Dog World, Ain't No Fun. Like, those are classic songs, no matter what era. DMX is arguably his best and most insightful song is Slippin'. That's an undeniable song. Absolutely undeniable. But Snoop has so many bangers. I don't know.
A crazy amount of bangers. Like, the list of stuff Snoop didn't play was crazy.
Whole nother verses. He can come back next week and be like, and pick somebody else. He can pick somebody else.
And repeat a track.
Jesus. So many. Like, man. I don't know. People got to put some damn respect on Snoop's name. To anybody who scored this for DMX. And I love DMX. And I love to see DMX being fat DMX. Him and Snoop joking about taking their shirts off was probably the funniest thing. That was hilarious.
But yeah, because we kind of got dad bod Snoop. Close as we're going to get.
Yeah, he's got the old man beard popping. Like, Snoop is 48 years old. DMX is 49.
Damn.
They're old. But Snoop, man, Snoop's been in this business for a long ass time. Went from being on Trial to Murder to doing shows with Martha Stewart. That guy is a fucking legend. Talk about reinventing yourself. Jesus.
Wild. And now it comes down to who's left. I saw someone say they wanted to see Keisha Cole versus Ashanti.
No thanks.
I think that maybe breaks 80,000.
I don't care about that. There's nothing like Keisha Cole? I was never a Keisha Cole fan at all. Ever.
Neither was I. I thought she just whined about horrible relationships.
Yeah, not a fan.
No, it was like trying to be Mary J. Blige, but something went horribly wrong. So I don't like Keisha Cole. But now it's like, okay, we got a couple matchups. Obviously, with the current state of Kanye, we can't have Kanye in the mix. But I wouldn't mind if they could pull it off. You know, Puff, I think, would be down. But a Puff versus Dre battle. Kind of like a battle of the producers. East Coast, West Coast vibes. I feel like that's still out there.
It's a lot of money. I'm sure, like, Dre's not doing it for cheap.
Sponsored by Ciroc, blah, blah, blah. Matt Ciroc around. That's, you know, advertisement. You throw him some money that way.
Yes.
I don't know. You got to plug, what, Beats by Dre? That shit's still around?
I mean...
The speakers, the pills? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You got to, like, plug that shit and have that everywhere. But outside of it, it's convenient. They both live in L.A. Takes 3 hours of their time. Granted, I'm sure Dr. Dre probably makes like $1 million in 3 hours. Fuck if I know.
Probably.
But like, you know, something stupid. But yeah, he could give up 3 hours of his time. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. And then, you know, of course, like, just on smaller levels, I think there could be a better representation of the quote-unquote blog era rappers. Like, I don't, like, Meek Mill versus Wale, I think, would be dope.
The only reason why I say an answer to this is because, for me personally, this is just a personal thing. I can see why everybody else wanted to do it. They're not done. So they're really in the thick of this. So
But they get, I mean, that's 15 years of a catalog. We just talked about X having six.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, with DMX, it's like he's so far removed from that material that you can play those. You'd be like, oh, shit. Like, with Wale and Meek, I feel like they're still so deep into it that they take it really personally. And maybe that's what a battle is for. But I prefer guys who are done with their careers. Like, not even completely done, but they're so far removed from their peak. Like, Wale's still in his peak. Meek, if he drops an album, he's still in his peak.
Yeah.
I like to see some, you know, I know somebody said something about, like, Charlie Wilson in a battle with somebody, and I was like, okay. Gap Band Charlie? Okay, I'm here for it. Gap Band and new and old Charlie? Who else can really fuck with that catalog? That's interesting. Maybe Ronald Isley? Charlie Wilson versus Ronald Isley? I was just spitballing that. I'm with it. I just made up my own shit, and I'm with it. Charlie Wilson versus Ronald Isley.
I'm here for that. The aunties have come out for it.
The old heads. You playing
on some gators.
You playing the old shit and the new shit. Unfortunately, Ronald Isley would be crippled because he can't do anything with R. Kelly. But...
No, you can't take away the Kells tracks. No, that's not right.
You can't.
You gotta play those.
You feel yucky. You would feel disgusting. But Ronald Isley...
Horrible, but you gotta
play. Listen, man, you're gonna hear me typing. I'm about to tweet that right now. Fuck all this. We're about to play this.
Nah, that'd be a good one for the old heads. I think the ultimate of ultimate, if you want to go to people who are no longer, like, super active, if we can get Tribe Called Quest versus Outkast, I think... That's probably the best matchup.
That would be good.
Three album, like those first three, like, fuck, that's a good matchup between those two.
That's a good one. You can tweet that one. I'm tweeting this one. But dude, Tribe versus Outkast? Because
I'm just going to reply to your tweet.
Dog, Outkast is like one of my favorite groups of all time. And same with Tribe. And Tribe is like the group that truly made me fall in love with like a certain sound of hip hop because the jazz samples and everything else. And Tribe also has a perfect song. Outkast has really, 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 really incredible songs too. But Electric Relaxation is like the perfect song. There are very few songs that are as perfect as Electric Relaxation is. That song is amazing on a number of levels. Not just on a rap level. The fact that it's timeless. The fact that girls can groove to it. And the fact that dudes rock it. And Fife still comes with it. And Tip. Like that. I love that song. But Outkast, woo, buddy. Bangers upon bangers upon. Like, they play the Dungeon Mob, Dungeon Family, Goody Mob shit. Yeah. I'd be
here
for that.
So much. So much in there. I mean, remixes, Q-Tip got stuff that's deep. That's, to me, a really, really good battle that could come out. And I don't know who wins.
No, I don't either. That comes out of the playlist.
Yeah, it comes down to sequencing, right? Like, what goes where? And maybe, and this is blasphemous to someone from New York, maybe I give the inch over to Outkast.
Yeah, I would really have to break down that catalog because there's just so many classic joints. Like, I'm very partial to everything off of Midnight Marauders. I'm very partial to. But the same thing goes for Aquemini. Like, Aquemini is an unbelievable album. And ATL, like Southern Playlist. I mean, yeah. But some people, they have classics.
Stankonia. Then you get into the half and half out. There's a lot of shit in that Outkast.
Then you go back to Tribe. And then, like, you know, obviously Q-Tip, if he wanted to. You know, if Andre plays Hey Ya, he could play, like, Breathe and Stop or Vibrant Thing. But, you know, the Scenario remix? Buddy? Native Tongue stuff? Ooh, deep.
Shit gets deep. It gets deep. So, I don't know. There's a couple. You got to really go with a Scenario Reeves, probably a trump card. Like, nothing Outkast catalog probably beats that, right? Like, if you, like, or it's real tough. So, you play that, Outkast got to play a throwaway. whatever that is.
Yeah, right. What's the throwback?
But yeah, like, whatever. But Outkast comes, like, there's some shit on Outkast catalog where you're like, yo, what is Tribe playing to beat this?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of that. Southern Playalistic, Players Ball, Crumbling Herb. I mean, that's just the first album.
International Players album trumps everything.
Yeah, it's so, that's another perfect song. There's just so much that can...
International Player Anthem, like, too much. It's just too much to decide in that catalog.
Yeah.
Too much. So that's a battle we need, though. So, yeah, we're going to start... I'm starting the movement. That's who we need. And, oh, when you took... I would get all my early 90s, that all my gear, my fucking Bambaataa pendant, everything. I'm taking it back. The Nick caps.
Man. Dude.
I think my uncle here, he left here in Puerto Rico. I think his old school Pele Pele. Like, I'm brushing that off. That's when you know I mean business. You break out the Pele Pele, tough. And it's 90 degrees here. So, man, the battles so far, though, touch on this one. They've been really, really good. In synopsis, DMX did not win that, though.
No, he didn't.
Move on. No, he did not. If you were scoring, he did not. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. There's so much combat sports to actually talk about that it's crazy, and we're taking our break early because we have to talk about the return of Mike Tyson, Nate Robinson. Yes, short ass NBA Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul is on the undercard. Some more craziness will probably be added to that. Then we have Top Rank ending on a high note. DAZN returning with Virgil Ortiz instead of Ryan Garcia. We have UFC Fight Island cards to recap. So much. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we'll get back to the show in 1 second. But first, sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. And there's no better place to start than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Get in on the action for this week's big UFC fight, or check out odds on NASCAR, Formula One, and the Premier League.
Can't wait for your team to come back? BetOnline has future odds, including win totals, division winners, and even league championships. Or check out daily simulations of Madden and NBA 2K to watch and wager on. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Just that quick, we are back. And as promised, we're talking boxing and the return of Mike Tyson. Iron Mike is stepping back in the ring. That's not surprising. We kind of saw that coming. Yeah, crack the claw. Because Dre, he's stepping back in the ring against your boy, Roy Jones Jr. First, and this is tough for you, I seen your Roy Jones Jr. catalog. You own all them shits. In their prime, who is the more dynamic fighter?
Roy Jones.
Tyson or Roy Jones?
Roy Jones. Dynamic? Roy Jones.
Ooh.
Mike Tyson was he's like a force. Roy Jones was finesse. Roy Jones embarrassed opponents. Where Mike just kind of brutalized him, Roy embarrassed him.
Well, Tyson had some peekaboo in him early on.
But it was so... That window, like for anybody who knows boxing, Mike Tyson's window was really small.
It was 18 through 21 years old.
Yeah. And then it was like, then he got incarcerated. He lost to Buster Douglas. He came back, beat a few bums. Then he got knocked out by Evander Holyfield. And it was all downhill from there. Roy, on the other hand, just ransacked everybody.
I don't know. A lot of, let's be real, a lot of his resume is very shaky.
I mean, as the...
You want to say bums. There's some questionable people on that resume.
I'm just saying.
School teachers, a janitor.
Roy didn't lose.
Some people on there.
Roy didn't lose to Buster Douglas, though.
No. Roy fucked up by going up to heavyweight.
Well.
And coming back down.
There was a problem, like, I said this, I wrote an article about this years ago. Like, Roy Jones, I think I've said it on the show, he broke every rule in the book when it came to boxing. Left his hands down, pulled his head back, stayed in the pocket with his hands down. He did everything that relied sheerly on athletic ability. Like, there was no, Like, he had some fundamentals, but when you watch him, he didn't use that shit. So it was not conducive to a career that would last long. So one day, moving up and down weight, the first Tarver fight, he was slower. He was a hair slower. And that's those cat-like reflexes, you can't be a hair slower. And that little hair slower ended up being a close fight with Tarver. But Roy's ego was like, yo, let's run it back. Tarver was like, cool, because I know you slowed down. You just don't believe it. Roy went back to doing what he did. And if you watch him get knocked out by Tarver, it was the same thing. Pulled his head back, but he wasn't fast enough to get all the way out of the way. And ate that punch and went night-night. Because the other thing was, Roy and Mike were very similar in the fact that when they touched the canvas, they never knew what it meant to touch the canvas. They were like, how did I get here? How do I get up? I don't know how to get up. They didn't know how to get off the canvas. Neither of them. They were so dominant. But I Roy, man, yes. Tyson, you know, Michael Spinks, he beat up a bunch of bumps. Razor Ruddock was...
You're downplaying that first run. Like, it's not like he got his heavyweight titles by beating bumps.
No.
He had a legit heavyweight tournament. He beat two of the major title holders in that tournament.
No, I mean, you're right. I'm not... Look, when Tyson won the titles, like, Michael Spinks was a title. He was paper to a lot of people. But Michael Spinks won the title, and he was just scared shitless for the fight to happen. Trevor Burbick was a champion, and he got ran over. So it was like, you know, Tyson didn't fight bums, but in the middle of his career, then it got kind of dicey because the window was so small. But I always go back to those two fights with Razor Ruddock, when it sounded like those two were beating like empty oil cans. That's how hard they were hitting each other in the ribs. It was like boom, boom. I was like, how do you hit each other like this? But the problem with Mike, and I guess the same goes for Roy, was that Mike didn't fight Riddick Bowe. He fought Holyfield on the downside of his career. He didn't fight like a George Foreman or a Michael Moore. So a lot of those names, because of him being away from the sport, they completely eluded him. He didn't get to fight those guys. Roy being a middleweight, yeah, he beat Bernard Hopkins early in his career, and then when he fought him again, when he was washed, he lost. But, like, he beat James Toney, too. Like, Roy beat a lot of people early in his career, but then when he became self-promoted, there were a lot of fighters in middleweight, super middleweight, and light heavyweight that he just didn't fight because of the money. But who else is going to go play basketball in the morning, full court, full-ass game, and then knock somebody out at night? Roy Jones Jr., and then make a rap song about it. Roy was amazing.
What's the betting odds at Westgate? Have it as a pick'em right now, -110 for each. My question is, what are the odds for Roy Jones wrapping his own self to the ring? That has to be strong, right? Like, you ain't getting good odds on that. Like, he's significant. If he doesn't wrap himself out, so y'all must have forgot. Then what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing here. According to BetOnline, Mike Tyson is a -350 favorite, and Roy Jones is a +275.
Listen,
he's a huge favorite.
Roy Jones fighting this, in which I don't even know if they announced the weights for this, but it got to be heavyweight.
It has to be heavyweight.
So, like, this being an open weight fight, with Mike looking the way he does, and Roy, let's be real, looking the way he does, Roy doesn't look like he went vegan, and he's been training for 6 months. You know, like, Roy doesn't look prime Roy. Tyson got an 8-pack and looks as good as you can for a 54-year-old.
Yeah, but this looks can be deceiving. Here's my issue. Before we start talking about this bet you're about to lose, here's my issue. People have looked at Mike Tyson hit pads, not people. He hasn't fought in 15 years. Roy Jones has actually been in a boxing ring the last 2 years. That's huge. And people aren't paying any attention to that at all. I don't know what Roy has left, but the fact that he has at least fought somebody in a sanctioned match 2 years ago to Mike Tyson's 15 means something. Because, dude, people hit pads all the time. That shit don't mean nothing. It's just pads. They're inanimate objects. They don't hit you back. Roy's going to hit Mike back.
But when you hit pads that fast, you got a pretty damn good chance.
I mean, you could hit him, but I'm just saying, what happens? Mike's never, since Customato died, Mike Tyson's never been known for his defense. So if Roy pops him a good time, because Mike never had a great chin. So if Roy pops him a good time, well, Mike had a decent chin. Roy hits him, and I'm going to put it like this. I don't know who Mike Tyson is. Like, those interviews are still scaring me. I don't want to go back to the old me. And like, what happens when Roy showboats and hits him? Mike sees red, and we're going to Roy Jones' funeral. That could happen.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Or
I actually expect that.
Or Roy showboats, hits him. Mike sees red, can't catch Roy, gets pieced up and knocked out. Because Mike, to be clear, because Mike hasn't fought in 15 years, you have to remember how he lost his last few fights. He didn't get, like, knocked out. He just didn't get back up. He kind of quit. He checked out. So at 50, was he 53? At 53, if Mike Tyson gets sat on his ass, if Roy hits him in the body one good time, I don't know if Mike's going to get up and want to continue that shit. Now, the gloves are going to be bigger. This is supposed to be an exhibition. But I don't know what an exhibition in boxing means for two guys who are used to trying to knock the other guy out. I don't think there's any half speed in boxing. Have you been to the doghouse at Mayweather's gym?
Yeah.
There's no half speed there. Now, granted, that's a very rarefied case because they turn the fucking clock off at the Mayweather gym. But other gyms, there's not really a half speed for fighters that are getting ready for a fight. And you put them in a real setting, I can't see these guys going, yeah, let's have fun. Somebody's a light's going to go off. Somebody's going to try to hurt the other one.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not a world-class athlete by any means, but I just played in like a football turkey bowl at ESPN, and I had to apologize 3 times for cleaning people coming over across the middle. And they're like, yo, it's two-hand touch. I'm like, I'm sorry. If the ball's in the air and you're going for it, muscle memory tells me to just take you out. And I apologize after. And that's just me. I haven't played linebacker in, shit, I'm old now. In what? 12 years I haven't played linebacker. 11 years it's been since I played linebacker. But it's still my natural instinct to go and fuck somebody up there coming across the middle. So no, if Mike gets hit with 2 jabs and Roy starts dancing, Bolo punches him 1 time, it's over. Because Mike's seeing red, he's getting real close, and he's throwing bombs. I don't care if you put him in 24-ounce gloves.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think everybody, the weight's going to be a thing, obviously. But I don't know. People are really, Roy, people are like, oh, well, Roy's washed up. What the fuck you think Mike Tyson was before he retired? Washed up.
Like, okay, but this is not that Mike. This Mike knocks out that
How do
Mike.
We know? How do we know? He hasn't been hit by anybody.
That's true.
At 53, he hasn't been hit in 15 years.
I'm going off of what the man says and how his body feels now and how comparing to how it felt then.
It's
how he takes care of himself, how everything is going.
What does Floyd Mayweather say? It's different when you get in the lights. It's different in the ring. You can hit all the pads you want. Once I hit you, yeah, it's different.
Cardio would be his biggest enemy. The gas tank will go before the skill goes. Maybe his skill has come back due to the training, due to how great he's kept his body. But when you get out there and you got to compete, it's so hard to get into game shape. It's so hard to get into fight shape. Unless they're bringing people in for him to do rounds.
Yeah, but who's going to really want to hit Mike Tyson?
I don't know. I'm not sparring Mike Tyson.
So there's so many weird
things,
I might fight
Mike Tyson on pay-per-view for a huge paycheck. Yeah, I damn sure ain't sparring him.
This is a lot. People, it's Roy Jones, and it's like, it's not Evander Holyfield who hasn't fought in a decade. It's a guy who just fought 2 years ago against live competition. Granted, not the best competition, but let's not act like Mike is like the great competition. Hopefully he looks good, but I personally, I've said this before, I don't like this. I don't think this is very conducive to Mike Tyson, considering that all he's been through and come back from. I don't think he looks at a fight as fun or an exhibition. It brings him back, you know, you keep taking me out and you keep pulling me back in. That's what it looks like for Mike Tyson. I don't think there's anything that's going to be fun.
Roy better protect himself. Yeah, it's like, you come out there, it's 8 rounds, you better protect yourself.
Yeah, I mean, duh. Still, Mike Tyson. I think the aura of Mike Tyson is bigger than anything else. It's like I said, he hasn't won a fight in years. He hasn't beat a formidable opponent in like 20 years.
All right, with that being said, will you then let me walk down this?
No, absolutely not.
No. To 3 million.
No.
Give me
no.
3 mil.
No. I'm not. No, absolutely not. It's not going to be $3 million anyway, but I'm not going to fall for that shit. No.
All right, you're confident. Give me $3
million. No, no. You were confident. You took the bet. No. You $4 million pay-per-view buys what you
At
want?
At first, I tried to do 2.5, and then you alerted me that Mayweather-McGregor did 4.3, and I got tricked into making it 4.
Yeah.
So let's go.
No.
Let's dial it back.
That is not happening.
To you're my taking original this level L. of confidence.
You're taking this L. Just take it. You're going to take it anyway. But I'm not giving you any out because it just sounds even better when you say $4 million. No. No. There's no way. And the best part is, because there's a few ways this fight could happen and where you could maybe go, oh man, they're gonna do like 1.5 or 2. It's like if Mike and Roy did like a press tour and we're like talking shit to each other, yeah, Mike looked angry, yeah, you can like juice the buys. But that shit ain't happening.
Jake Paul's on this. Which we're touching.
Man, ain't nobody Jake paying Paul no goddamn to see no Jake Paul.
Listen,
and
these
Nate
young
Robinson.
Kids might pay. These YouTube kids, how many DAZN subscriptions you get? That shit was 20.
We got a lot, but yeah,
$20. I'm hoping that this is only like a $30 paper.
But come on, man. First of all, Nate Robinson is a child-sized individual. Paul is like...
Nate Robinson might knock him out.
Jake Paul is like 6... Has anybody seen Nate Robinson do anything?
Nate Robinson won a dunk contest at 5'9".
Oh.
He was a world-class NBA athlete. He played football at the University of Washington and was one of the best DBs they had. It's not like he's only played one sport forever. No, he was legit in football as a corner as well. He is a real athlete. He's not Gibb.
That doesn't matter, though. He's not a boxer. And neither is Jake Paul, but... But Jake Paul has at least sparred with live competition. He's a boxer.
He's going to knock Jake Paul out.
I don't know, man. I don't
need
know,
the
man.
Odds
like,
on that.
I always think about this.
Send us the odds on that yet.
See, I always think about this, and I'll never forget Sticky Fingers getting his ass whooped on what the hell was that show on MTV? That boxing show. Celebrity boxing.
I
or whatever.
Forgot. Yeah.
Sticky
yeah.
Fingers got his ass
Sticky
whooped
Fingers
by that white dude.
He's a rapper. Yeah.
But he's Sticky
Fingers. He is not a world-class athlete.
But he's Sticky Fingers. He was buff. He was ripped and got his ass... Like, he got dogged.
Sticky Fingers is not
but
Nate dark. Robinson.
Who is Nate?
Do you understand the level of athletic ability it takes to have a 42-inch vertical?
Hey. John Jones can't dunk a basketball, but he sure will whip your ass. Athleticism doesn't mean a whole lot in fighting.
It does when you get to two relatively novice fighters.
Yeah, but at least Jake is boxed. And like I said, he sparred live rounds with real people. He has a real trainer. Nate Robinson has like 2 months to learn the fundamentals of boxing. This is me assuming that he has never boxed before. If he has, I don't know about it.
Not like that.
If he hasn't, I don't know, man. Like Jake is much better than Logan. I'll say that. Like, we saw little
fundamentals.
Jake is
better than Logan.
Yeah, but little fundamentals, like shooting the jab. And, like, he got better. Jake has been in 3 or 4 fights. 2 without headgear, 2 with, I think, or something like that. And he's gotten better. But you only get better in live competition. Nate Robinson hasn't done that shit yet. He might get hit with a jab. Like, the jab is the scariest thing to get hit with in boxing. If you've never boxed before. Because you don't understand it. Because you used to throw wide.
You don't know how to get around it. Yeah, you have no clue.
You're like,
how to
what
counter
is
this? The jab.
It's straight, and it hits you in the face, and you're used to throwing wide looping punches because that's how we all fought when we were kids. I've been hit with a jab before, and I was like, nope, I don't like this shit because I can't figure
in
out how to get
life?
Around it. Yes.
Like street
boxing?
Fighting?
No, boxing.
Oh, yeah, boxing. You know. Okay.
Yeah.
No,
if anybody fought me in a street fight doing that shit, I quit. I'd be like, no, you know how to fight. I'm cool. Yeah. But
straight jabs and leg kicks. If you attempt a leg kick on me, like I got to try to check a kick, that's the end of the fight. I'm leaving. You got this, homie.
Yeah.
Talk as much shit as you want.
And Jake's got a pretty decent jab. If Nate can't figure that part out, he's done.
Yeah,
he's
the
done.
Reach
now,
it's tough.
If they get into like a brawl, then yeah, anything can happen. But if Jake were to, and it's like, what is it going to be, like 4 rounds? It's going to be short.
We're breaking down Jake Paul versus Nate.
I know, but
Nate
the whole point of you bringing that up is to help boost pay-per-view sales. It's not getting to $4 million. It's not.
I need a couple more big names.
You need a couple million. That's what you need.
I just need a couple more big names.
Like,
and I got to buy like 100 of these personally.
Depending on the pricing for this fight and depending on how it's rolled out, I can see 1.5. depending on the
if
pricing.
It's 30, I can, with this, just these two fights, at $30, I can get $2 million out of it.
Maybe.
But we still
they're gonna bootleg the shit out of this fight.
Fuck, man.
I miss fire sticks everywhere, all day. I'm telling you, man. Damn. There's no loyalty to a sport in this. No, so yeah, you're losing that bet. The other thing I want to do before we go in there,
I just saw Masvidal get 1.3. Like,
but that's a loyal base that believes in fighting. They watch UFC. They watch cards. Yes, Masvidal puts it over.
My point being, let's drop the bet down to three.
No, no, that's not happening. No, you can't talk me out of this. No, you made your bed, you lie in it. That's what you get. You deserve it.
Gentleman and throw me a bone.
No, I don't. I'm not a gentleman in bets. I still mowed a steak dinner. No. And I'm collecting brunch, too. Man, it's going to be a feast when I see you.
Yeah, that's it.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Still on the table.
God damn. It's all bad. We have to go for a bottle of something next.
The wife still talks about the $100+ champagne bottle I had to buy you the last time you won brunch.
Yes. One other thing before we start talking about the rest of boxing and MMA. It was interesting because I saw a few people upset because they were like, oh, and they're people from Showtime, PBC, Mayweather Promotions, and I love them. They're upset. They were like, oh, I can't believe this. Showtime announced their slate of fights, and nobody, you know, wrote anything. And then Tyson and Roy Jones do this circus, and everybody's writing about it. And I hit Kelly back, Kelly Swanson from Mayweather Promotions, and I was like, yeah, because people like a circus. The irony of this is, just a few years ago, Kelly Swanson, Mayweather Promotions, Showtime, they were promoting a fight, Mayweather-McGregor, where Oscar De La Hoya was like, oh man, you're overshadowing Triple G and Canelo with this bullshit fight, the circus of a fight. And they went off and was like, oh, you're just salty and mad. Now who's salty and mad? Listen, I get it. I said the same thing. It's a circus of a fight. It's bullshit. Mayweather-McGregor was a bullshit fight. Canelo-Triple G was a real fight. But people don't like real fights. People like circuses. And you can't support the Mayweather-McGregor circus and get mad when you see Tyson and Roy Jones roll some shit out. You can't. It's going to get more coverage. Sorry. It's just the way it is. I thought it was so ironic. I was like, really? Kelly, you? Head of Mayweather Promotions PR? You? I love you, but no. That fight was a sham and you knew it. But it was a circus and people wanted the circus. People like the circus. It's just the way it is.
Crazy. I mean, listen, I gave love to all of it. I gave Showtime one post, and I gave Tyson like 7 so far during the day. I mean, it's just the numbers
don't lie. It's a business.
But I do, yeah, I like the Showtime lineup, though. They did my chick Clarissa Shields dirty. You got 9 cards, and the best female boxer in the world can't get on one?
Keep in mind, they haven't rolled out the Fox on PBC slate yet. There's still a whole
other
slate
of
fights.
Okay, but she's never fought on Fox.
Maybe
she
does now.
She's a Showtime person.
Maybe she does now. I don't
know. That's fair.
I don't
know. At this point, they need to, because she ain't going to be happy. Like, they need to, and if that's the case, that's cool, because you open her up to a wider audience, I guess. Right? You put on primetime television. I like that angle, but she's only fought on Showtime. She isn't a co-main event type of person. She hasn't co-mained in like 2 years. So I just thought that was odd. But the fights they did announce, they have some really good ones, I think. David Benavidez coming back. I know you think very highly of David Benavidez. I think this gets him a step closer to unification bout. Caleb Plant. Yeah, Caleb Plant should be the guy. I'm taking Canelo out of that equation. So
yeah, you have to.
I think Caleb Plant is that guy. Maybe Caleb wants another fight. He fought, right before the pandemic hit, I think?
Yeah.
So maybe he wants another fight. He didn't look great until later in that fight anyway. So maybe he wants another one. I see him training in his yard in Vegas all the damn time. So he's in shape. Maybe he wants another tune-up as well. But Benavidez fight should be very fun. The slept-on fight, the Lubin fight on September 19th.
Yeah, Terrell Joshua.
I think it's
a pretty good fight. Yeah,
that's gonna be a good fight. We have the pay-per-view, which to me, listen, we'll get to the Tank fight in a second. I have no problem with that being pay-per-view. 2 Charlos as a pay-per-view? That's gonna be a tough sell.
So it was
tough sell. UFC runs pay-per-views every month. You got another one, you know, late October. Theoretically, in September, it's competing, or the week after, it's competing with Loma on October 3rd. Like, that's probably going to be a pay-per-view. That it's going to be a tough ask. Maybe because it's first, maybe they think, like, yo, people pay for us and then be asked out and not pay for the Loma fight on pay-per-view. Nah. I don't know. But I think people are going to be smart enough to be like, I think I'll wait on this. But we have, you know, Jermall Charlo versus Derevyanchenko. That's a great fight.
Fantastic fight.
And I think Charlo's biggest test at 160.
Absolutely. Derevyanchenko pushed Triple G to the limit, and he pushed Daniel Jacobs to the limit. He's a hell of a fighter. This is Jermall Charlo's true litmus test to find out how good he is in this division.
Yep. And I think if he makes a statement, if Canelo doesn't get around to fighting Triple G, Triple G is just going to go after the belts and try to clear out the division again. And I think Charlo has a good opportunity to maybe have a cross-promotional fight with Triple G down the line. Triple G is going to run out of guys.
Absolutely.
So I think this sets up that common opponents. If you look better, I like that fight. It's going to be tough, though. Jermall Charlo as the co-main versus Rosario. That should be all right. Another, good fight for Charlo. I don't know what's happening at 154. I feel like they're just kind of waiting for Errol Spence to move up.
54 is it's an interesting division because there's, you know, guys like Tony Harris in there and J-Rock. And
J-Rock lost something to me, y'all.
I mean, you know, 154 is not the toughest division. It's the reason why Oscar De La Hoya said that if he came back, he'd fight at 154, which Charlo took exception to and was like, I'd beat the brakes off him, which is true. But, like, even Jermall Charlo lost to Tony Harrison. So it's like, it's an okay division. I don't know, man. This being a pay-per-view, they're trying to sell the Charlos. And the Charlos look like stars. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. As twins. And I like the fact that it's a pay-per-view doubleheader. And it's got a lot of fights. There's an afternoon card and an evening card. I like that. But I don't know about this being a pay-per-view. I still don't know about
it. It's an afternoon card and an evening card?
Yeah. Yeah, these aren't. It's not like co-main and main. There's a. I think one of them ends and then it rolls right into an next. I think it's a split site doubleheader. So. You're going to get a lot of fights. I think Luis Neri is on this fight, like on this card. I don't have it in front of me. But it's a pretty stacked card that should appease boxing fans. But if they expect anything beyond that, given what the UFC will be doing, given that this will be 2 weeks after Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, yeah, no. No.
Yeah, and then we get the Lipinitz fight, which should be really good. As well, after that, rolling into Gervonta Davis versus Leo Santa Cruz on the 24th, which I think that's a really good fight. I think they should stack that with a decent undercard, too. Man, that's one where you get a lot of eyes on someone.
Yeah.
Like a young fighter. I'm not sure who's, like, the next... I mean, Boots Ennis, maybe?
Yeah, Jaron Ennis is scary. I think, welterweight.
Yeah, I think Boots would be really good to put in that spot as the co-main. But yeah, there's some talent that they could really get eyes on there. And Gervonta, the one thing we'll touch on real quick before we move on to UFC is this fight is a little different because the titles for 135 and 130 are both on the line. Even though the fight will be at 130.
Some bullshit. That's what that is. How you fight for two different weight classes and only fighting in one of them? The WBA, come on, man.
WBA don't go fuck.
Come on. Like, how is this for two titles in two different weight classes? You going to fight, like, 130 for five rounds and gain some weight? Like, what is this shit?
Because Gervonta's dropping it anyway. If he wins, it's out. And then 130 WBA championship will be up for grabs.
It's total bullshit. But whatever. Whatever sounds good. I mean, WBC's done worse. They just make up belts. So it is what it is.
The return of DAZN comes back this week with Virgil Ortiz. It should be a good showcase fight for him, but looking at where he is in the 147 landscape, by the way, today he had to use the towel to make weight. I found that a little odd, but it's a pandemic, so yep. What the fuck, it might be hard to cut weight. At 147, I don't know who gives him a shot.
Oh, I don't.
This is one of those rare times where it hurts to be on the other side. Like, I think PBC and Top Rank might work together. I'm not sure who gives a young kid like this the shot to get in.
That's the greatest question, because he's the goods. Virgil Ortiz is the goods. He's going to like I just talked to him a few days ago. He's going to pulverize Samuel Vargas. That's expected. And he's already, you know, he said he wants to fight Spence. He wants to fight. He really wants to fight Keith Thurman. He thinks it'd be a hell of a fight.
I think so. So shit, that's great.
Yeah, but the welterweight division is ruled by PBC. Like, that's why Bud can't get anybody. So it's like you have Virgil on one side, you have Crawford on the other, and everybody's in PBC. But the problem is, the interesting thing is, like, I talked to Sean Porter the other day, and I asked him who he was fighting. Yeah, he's not going to tell me. And if he was, I can't tell you guys. But the joke I had was like, well, it can't be anybody good. And I was like, because you fought everybody good. And you know what? Nobody wants to fight you. Nobody wants to fight him. So he's in a rock and a hard place where if there's a deal to be made, if there's a bargaining chip, it's Sean Porter. Sean Porter versus Terrence Crawford. Future, maybe Sean Porter versus Virgil Ortiz. Sean Porter, like, nobody, Spence, Thurman, Garcia, all have fought him. None of them you've never heard any of them say, I want to fight Sean Porter again. None of them.
Not at all.
He's not a fun fight. Manny Pacquiao, at first, they were like, before the Spence fight happened, I talked to Sean Gibbons, Knucklehead Gibbons, who's Pacquiao's manager. And he was like, yeah, we'll take the Sean Porter fight. Then after the fight, he looked at me and was like, I don't think we wanted that fight. Fuck that. He's too rough. He's too rough. Nobody wants to fight him. So he's a bargaining chip. Everybody, I want to see Bud and Porter. That's the fight I want to see. I don't know what happens to Virgil Ortiz. He's really on the outside looking in. But he's also a big 47, which you just pointed out. Needed the towel today. Maybe just goes to 54 at some point. But I think he's going to stay at 47 for a while and try to figure it out.
Yeah, I think 54 might be his best bet. Because I just don't see who fights him. Unless you can throw the bag at Kell Brook. I feel like Kell Brook at this point is the wild card.
It'll probably be Kell. You're right. Kell Brook is probably the guy.
Yeah, it's a race. Because I think Terrence Crawford is looking at Kell Brook as well.
Yeah, it's like, who can I beat up with somewhat of a name? Kell Brook.
That's it. But I think Virgil, it's a race to see who Kell will fight.
Yep.
So I think that's a possibility that's on the table. I don't know what Amir Khan's doing. But that's a good name, if he's looking for a name of someone to probably fight. Or if they want him to get a name and the money is there, you pony up the dough and you pay Adrian Broner $6 million. Not the 10 he wants, but he ain't getting six anywhere else. And you give him the $6 million and feed him to your young lion.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they'll do that. I don't think PBC gives a fuck.
No, why should they?
So I pay Broner a lot of money to take an ass whooping, but that's building a star. So we'll see how that goes for Virgil Ortiz. I expect him to win this weekend as well. Before we got to get out of here, we only have a couple minutes left in the show. Didn't leave much time for UFC, but it's okay. Card wasn't that crazy anyway. Fight Island, pretty much about the main event this past weekend. Figueiredo versus Benavidez, the rematch. Dre, we got it wrong again.
Wrong, man. Wrong. Figueiredo beat the brakes off.
As wrong as you can get.
God damn.
Jeez Louise. It was ugly. So submission, round one, and he beat the hell out of him before he even submitted him.
Dude.
The
only thing I'll say is that Benavidez has a tremendous amount of resolve, because Figueroa had that choke in deep in the first round. He didn't tap. And I was like, wow, he's going to keep fighting. And Figueroa was like, you know what? I'm just going to beat the shit out of you and get you this choke on you again. And he did. He did exactly that. He beat the hell out of Joseph Benavidez. Now I'm looking at the flyweight division. I was like, well, who wants to fight him? Cejudo ain't coming back down to flyweight. I don't know who's going to beat Figueroa. He's too good.
I did like the fact that a lot of people were asking that in the comment section on our ESPN MMA page. And the one person to speak up, which I kind of like, is Cody Garbrandt. Because I think Cody is in line, obviously after his last performance, for a shot at bantamweight title. But he's still maybe two people behind. And if you got to take a fight anyway, why not go down and try to test that out?
Man, so what happened to Dillashaw, though?
That's fair.
Cody's not even as small as TJ.
No, but Cody says he can make the weight.
Yeah, I believe it. So did TJ. That's fair. They used all the jokes and still lost.
But I like that idea. How about that?
Yeah.
Like the idea of there's not a real contender there. If a guy like Cody Garbrandt, former champion, big name in the sport, wants to go down and test himself, and he has to take another fight in the interim anyway, go dare to be great. Because then if you win, it's a champ versus champ matchup, and you catapult everyone.
It's fair.
And shit, if Aljo still didn't fight for a title yet, you're catapulting him. Because Dana won't commit to him either. So I think that's an interesting fight. It's ridiculous. Now let's touch on and just make a quick prediction for this week's fight card. This is actually a really good fight card.
Dude, it's 15 fights. 15 fights are on that card.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. Carla Esparza's back. See, Fabricio Verdum will start here versus Gus. Debut at heavyweight. I'm taking Gus. Verdum just hasn't looked the same.
Fabricio's body looks terrible. He looked terrible in that last fight. I don't know what Gus is going to look like as a heavyweight, but I think it's going to be better than Fabricio.
I agree. And then we have Shogun Rua versus Nog Antonio Rogero Nogueira. I don't fucking know. Shogun to win? I feel like he won the first two.
I'm going to pick Shogun, but here's the problem. They have Shogun listed as 38 years old. I'm just not buying that shit.
How old is Shogun?
I don't know.
Shogun's been around since he was 16 then.
That's what I'm like. He fought in Pride, and I'm like, yo, he's only 38? But maybe, I don't know.
Lil Nog is what, 44?
Yeah, Lil Nog is old. He's Nog no longer Lil Nog. He's old Nog. But damn.
Yeah. That's 44. I mean, 38 younger than 44.
Shit. But I guess I'll pick Shogun. I can't even remember the last time I watched a Lil Nog fight, but alright, whatever.
I don't know last time Lil Nog fought either. Fuck it. Nostalgia fight. I'll take it. And then main event, Robert Whittaker versus Darren Till.
This is actually a really tough fight.
It's a really good fight. I mean, Whittaker was so good for so long. He beat so many good people. I've seen Darren Till trip up so many times against fighters. You know, I mean, let's be real. I think Whittaker's probably better than Jorge Masvidal. I'm also all caught Till, so I mean that's MMA math, but who the fuck knows? Roll the dice. Give me Robert Whittaker. I like Till as a person, as a character, but give me Bobby Knuckles to win this.
Yeah, I'm taking Robert Whittaker. You said the trip up with
Masvidal. Shit, I would have took Darren Till.
Yeah, no. Till got knocked out by Masvidal. Till went to a split decision with Gastelum, who got ran over by Jack Hermanson last week. And Robert Whittaker lost to, like I said, Robert Whittaker lost to a guy who's got a style that was just tailor-made to kick his ass, Adesanya. I think Till doesn't really have that. As long as Whittaker didn't lose anything against Adesanya, he should win this fight. It should be exciting, though, because Till's a great fighter. It should be exciting, but I'm going to go with Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah, the good thing about Whittaker is that it wasn't a drag-out, long ass-whooping. No, you know, he kind of got knocked down, flash knocked. Yeah, he got pieced up and it was done. Like, cool, he kind of bounced back from that. Like, the long, dragged-out just wars, I would be more worried. But this wasn't that. So, I don't know. Should be a good fight card. We'll recap it next week and leave more time for MMA. Especially because, hopefully, next week, boxing will kind of die down and we won't have, verses to talk about and all this good stuff. So, plenty more to talk about going forward. And sooner or later, we'll split back into our three-show format and give boxing its own show and MMA its own show. So that'll be very, very welcomed as well. We want to thank you guys for tuning in today, though. Man, it's been fun. We're going to be back on Sunday talking pro wrestling. A ton to talk about there. Again, a lot has happened in the world of pro wrestling. Till then, though, make sure you guys follow us on social media at Corner Podcast _ me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. Have a fun weekend. Stay safe. Stay Rona free. For now, though, we're out.
Peace.